You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
You're listening to Rebranding with Mark Hampton, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
It's time for rebranding. It's time for rebranding. With Mark Hampton.
Mark Hampton on Rebranding. Rebranding Black America right here on TalkTainment Radio, the world's greatest radio. And you're listening to Rebranding Black America. I'm Mark Hampton, branding visionary for Rebranding Black America. You can go to our website at www.rebrandingblackamerica.webs.com. That's rebrandingblackamerica.webs.com. You can also call us right now at 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766 right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Yeah, well, we're going to start the program off today like we do often. We talk about what branding is and kind of define branding for our listening audience so that you understand how branding works. And we got a topic we're going to talk to you about today up in here. Got a topic I want to talk to you about, but first we're going to define what branding is. Branding is really the first thing that comes to mind when you hear certain phrases or see certain emblems or things along that line, or hear a certain sound, the first thing that comes to your mind, that is the brand that you hold for that particular thing. And so branding, if I were to say to you Tiger Woods, well, you're going to say golf. If I said basketball and you're above the age of 30, 35, you're going to say either Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. That's how branding works. It's the first thing that comes to mind. And I believe that American business has done what I refer to as mix a toxic marketing cocktail that is negatively affecting African Americans. And I believe our greatest challenge is what we think about ourselves and understanding how what we presently think about ourselves has been influenced by American business through marketing and advertising, et cetera, et cetera. So once we understand how this has affected us, then we can have substantial movement forward. But until I know what the game really is, I'm really not playing at all. And so I need us to understand that. So today I want to take a little bit different turn in the year, because I really want you to finish this year strong. I really want you to have a great finish to 2011, because I'm going to tell you right now, 2012 is going to be a gangbuster year. If it's not going to be for the squeamish, it's not going to be for the soft at heart. 2012 is going to be for everybody that really is serious about engaging their life. And you know what? Speaking of engaging your life, the truth of the matter is, it is the relationships in your life. Well, let me put it to you this way. The quality of your life is often determined by the relationships that are the quality of the relationships in your life, because at the end of the day, it is not stuff that gets on your nerves. It is usually people. And your ability or inability to understand what is going on with people will determine the quality of your life and the relationships that you have, because people are what get on your nerves. You know things are going to happen. You know the car eventually will break down. You know you're going to get a flat tire. You know you may get a shut off notice every now and then. But that doesn't bother you. But what really bothers you is when Sally, Jane, Tim, Jarrell, Shaquana gets on your tap dances on your last nerve. That's when you blow a gasket. And so I want us to understand that today. So what we're going to talk about today, as we really focus in on how we're finishing out this year, and what's really going on with you, we really want to focus on today is I want to talk about relationships. Sookie, sookie now. I want to talk about relationships. And I want you to kind of think about the relationships that you have right now. I want you to get in your mind's eye, because I want to engage you to have a conversation with me about this whole piece on relationships. Because you know what? You can duck and jive all you want, but if you don't get this relationship piece down, it's, you know what? Your life is not going to be happy. You can have as much stuff as you want to have. The truth of the matter is, if you can't manage relationships, you ain't happy. I know ain't good language in this context, but you get the point. If you can't manage relationships, you will not be happy. It's just that simple. Now, to kind of crystallize our thinking real quick, there are two blockbuster relationships that are in some major trouble right now. From African Americans who hold a level of significance and a prominence in America right now. Right now, one of them, unfortunately, is what's going on with Cain. It's an inability to manage relationship. And he had a relationship issue that his main relationship, his most important relationship on this planet, didn't even know about. Now, can I tell you something? I ain't beating up on Cain. I'm dealing with relationships. Because I want you to crystallize this. I want you to crystallize this because you need to understand it's about relationships, baby. That's what your life is about. How well you're getting along with others. And if you got an attitude constantly and can't get along with nobody, you're going to be an unhappy individual. And so right now we got a situation with Cain. His wife didn't even know about this other woman, yet he's paying bills, et cetera, et cetera. It's a relationship breakdown. And you need to understand that at a massive, massive level. Now that we could also argue the point, if Cain knew he had all this baggage in his history, why in the heck would he run for president? I mean, that's the stupidest thing you could probably do. And it also shows me how reckless his thinking is. If he was going to run for president, what he should have done is talk to them beforehand and said, listen, I want y'all to keep your mouth shut. I want you to sign this paper saying you're going to do it, and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this shows just how out of touch he is. And it's a sad, sad thing. I feel for his family. I feel for his wife. I feel for his children. And you know what? I feel for him too, because he didn't understand the power of relationships. And here's another evidence. When he first got in trouble, no one ran to his defense, because Cain has never developed relationships. And in fact, he ruined the relationship he had with African Americans at first when he said racism is not really a problem for any black person in America. What hole in the ground did he crawl out of? I mean, the truth of the matter is, he's out of touch. And so this is an unfortunate thing that happened to him. But he should have thought about this long, long time ago. And so relationships, then another relationship that's on meltdown right now, a prominent preacher right here in this nation, Eddie Long. Relationship meltdown. What is going on with black folks and relationships? You know what? Here's some more relationship issue. And you know, Eddie, you know, I'm not going to put my mouth on him, but I'm just saying there's a relationship meltdown there. And we have to understand, if you married, you need to get this, or engaged. OK, the most important relationship you have on the planet is the one you have with your wife or the woman you're about to marry. That's your I'm talking about with a person. I ain't talking about with your God or anything along that line, but I'm talking about with a person, because at the end of the day, when you go home to that person, you got to be king. If you can't be king when you walk into your house, if you can't be comfortable, man, hey, listen, you got a major relationship problem. So that's the other side of the coin. And I'm going to say the same thing to you, sisters. The most important relationship you have is the one you have with the man in your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be queen if you don't make him king. If you don't respect that brother, you can't have what you want to have. Respect is absolutely paramount to the relationship. Matter of fact, you have to learn how to play your life to the strengths, or watch this, to the core need of the other person. And if you don't get that part down, you're going to struggle in relationships. The number one need of a woman is security. So if you tell her you love her, you love her, you love her, but the rent ain't paid, she don't equate that as love. So you need to understand she could care less. If the kids need shoes and there's nothing to eat in the refrigerator and you say, but I love you, she ain't buying it. You hear what I'm saying? And the flip side, sister, he don't want to hear that you love him, but you can't respect him because his number one need is to be respected. And if you can't respect him, then he's not interested in hearing anything from you. And he ain't interested in providing for you. He ain't if you can't respect him. You hear what I'm saying? Now, this is coming from a man who's been married for 26 years, y'all, going on my 27th year marriage. So I know a little something, something about being married and what it takes. Now, I want to, as we talk about relationships, I think that black relationships have been negatively affected by branding, through entertainment, through media outlets and media forms. I believe that African Americans have been negatively branded in the relationship area. When you got plays and shows, I can do bad all by myself. I mean, that's saying that, you know what? I'm doing bad with you, so I might as well kick you to the curb, and then I'm just going to do bad by myself. I mean, why don't you say we can do good together? It's all about how we think and how we approach things. Why we want to do bad by myself? I'm not trying to do bad. So why try to do bad? Why do it by yourself? You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, on the flip side of that, I will say this. If you're going to do bad, yeah, do that by yourself. Don't bring somebody else into your chaos. All right. So if you want to be bad and you want to do bad, do it by yourself. Don't bring anybody else into it. Now, when I say that, I'm also saying don't bring any other kids and don't have kids if you ain't got yourself together. You can't help anybody if you first don't help yourself. Sookie, sookie now. You can't help anybody if you don't first help yourself and have yourself online so that you can help somebody else. And no point in you trying to help somebody and you need help. Come on. Get yourself together, brother, sister, and then help somebody else. All right. So we talk about relationships. Now, we need to understand right now, as we deal with this issue of relationships, and I'll go back to what I said at the top of the show. The quality of your life largely depends on how well you manage the relationships in your life, because it is people who get on your nerves, not things. All right. So you got to learn how to get along with somebody. Now, the other thing that I want to point out here, there was an online publication source that said that, listen to this, that African Americans, all right, have a 70% divorce rate. Whoa, a 70% divorce rate in the African-American community. That means that two people who decide to get married at some point in their marriage split and decide that they made a mistake and they move on. What in the heck is going on with African-Americans that we are divorcing at such a high rate? We are having a massive relationship breakdown within our community, and we need to come to grips with this, because at the very foundation and the backbone of our community is marriage and family. We were the poster child for what family was during the 60s, during the civil rights movement. We were the poster child for what it meant to be family. We stuck together like nobody's business. We raised each other's kids. We had a village that was raising an entire community. We were the number one family-oriented ethnic group in this country. And nearly 40 plus years later, it's completely upside down. What is going on with us and our ability to have relationships with others? What in the world is going on? with African Americans who are struggling to relate to one another? Well, let's just look at this. To relate means, first of all, look at this breakdown, this word relationship. Now, relationship is an emotional connection between people. That's what a relationship is. It's an emotional connection between people, but usually two people. All right. So as we look at the number of the fact that we have a 70% breakdown in relationships. Okay. That's the facts. I mean, this is not a joke here. We have a 70% divorce rate in our community. So this is nothing to play about. This is nothing to play with. This is real stuff. All right. And it's happening to us at an epic proportions. If this was happening in the general society, America would throw all the resources it possibly could at it to turn that thing around. You hear what I'm saying? Yet we're sitting back and we're not really tackling this issue. So here we are. We have a 70% divorce rate. We know that relationships is the definition for relationship is an emotional connection between two people. Right now, if we got a 70% divorce rate in the black community right now, what that means is we are not emotionally healthy with each other. If relationships means an emotional connection, we are losing our emotional connection with each other. We don't know how to fight for relationships. We don't know how to fight for our families. We're losing our ability to understand that that's what we're going to do. You know what the first agenda of a freed slave was? The first thing a freed slave did was got married. That's the first thing a freed slave did. A freed slave, the first thing they did was got married. So why? Because they understood the power of relationships. And I'm not so sure that we as African Americans in this day and time understand the power of relationships. We've got to get this relationship thing in order. Now, up next, relationship detox. Right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
It's time to Rebranding Black America on TalkTainmentRadio.com. I'm Mark Hampton, branding visionary for Rebranding Black America. You can visit us online right now at www.rebrandingblackamerica.webs.com. That's www.rebrandingblackamerica.webs.com. Or you can get in on the conversation right now that we're having on relationships at 877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766 on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. And I'm Mark Hampton, branding visionary. Relationship detox. Let's go to something right now. We're going to talk a little bit about, and just before the break there, I was talking about actually talking about Cain and one of the, that's a relationship breakdown that's happening right in the midst of our community, in the black community. We also talked about Bishop Eddie Long, who had a major break, who his wife recently just filed for divorce, then recanted. Then I looked on the news. Looks like she's now going to do it again. It's a relationship breakdown. What's going on with African Americans that we seem to be in trouble with one another from an emotional perspective, because we know that relationship is an emotional connection between two people? What is going on when we have 70% divorce rate in the African American community? And let me just say this. I'm going to just throw this out here. I know Cain is the hot story right now. His candidacy seems to be the issue, but the real issue is what's going on with his family. That's the real, real issue. And the truth of the matter is, Cain right now is not in a fight for his presidential candidacy. Cain is not in a fight for his reputation. Cain is not in a fight to continue, whether or not he's going to continue in the race or get out of the race. No. Cain right now is in a fight for his family. And what disturbs me more than anything is his inability to understand that this is his number one agenda. It's troubling that he has not, a few days ago he announced that he hadn't talked to his wife in a week. And he aired that in public. And it bothers me that we would talk about a private matter in a public format, and that he doesn't have the wisdom necessary to know that that's not an appropriate conversation that he can have. So it's troubling me with these emotional breakdowns and the breakdowns which seem to be occurring in the black community from a relationships perspective. Those of you who've been communicating with me this morning, or this afternoon on Facebook, y'all need to call me at 1-877-932-9766, because I believe people want to hear more than just see your post on Facebook, but they want to hear from you about this topic, relationship. Now, relationship detox. You know, one of the challenges that seems to be happening is, this is something I'm observing, is our inability to detox from other relationships. I mean, you get in a bad relationship, and unfortunately, you don't detox from that relationship, and then you carry that behavior or carry that other relationship into your next relationship. You need to take some time and detox from bad relationships. And another person is not going to help you detox from a bad relationship. Because the truth of the matter is, if you don't detox from a bad relationship, what you're exemplifying is the fact that, first of all, you got yourself into this bad relationship, and you need to figure out for yourself. You need to figure out what's going on with you that you got yourself in this bad relationship. That's what I want to know. So if you're going to detox, don't use another person as your therapy. You need to detox by yourself. Get some alone time. Okay. You know, look, just put your hand on your chest and say, self, we gonna detox. I mean, so you can get that other person out of your system. Cause if you don't get that other person out of your system, you're not going to be effective in your next relationship. So get rid of other people. Make sure you detox, cause you don't want to carry that into your next relationship. So there is a relationship detox. Now, I don't know what the period is. It depends on how long you were in that relationship. I don't know if it's, you know, 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is at all. But the truth of the matter is that's what's going on. You need to detox from bad relationships. Now, right now, you know, we're watching this Cain thing. This is so timely. This is so timely because we know that Cain right now is going to be making an announcement in a few minutes whether or not he's going to continue his candidacy. And I pray to God that he jumps out as quickly as he can. And I don't even think he needed a press conference. I think he just needed to tell America, I'm done. And it just would have been, that's news enough. But here's the thing. It's about him understanding that the most important thing is his relationship, not running for president. Dude, you in trouble at home. Forget the White House. Forget running for president, because, you know, there's no point. Even if you won, you go in there by yourself. But let that marinate for a minute. So the truth of the matter is, no, we need to understand what's happening at the relationship level. And this is a massive breakdown in relationships with Cain and his wife. You know, and I'm not here to jump on the Cain piece or anything along that line, but it's unfortunate. In other words, so as we talk about relationship, remember, there is a detox period. I had a friend of mine ask me one time, it was a good friend of mine, and he said these words to me, because he's been married and divorced a couple of times, and he asked me, he said, Mark, man, what am I doing wrong? I think he's a nice guy. Now, I don't live with him. All right, you follow what I'm saying? But here's what he said. Here's what he said, and I see right now Cain is getting off of a bus. I'm going to park this conversation, put a pin in it for right now. Cain has just gotten off his bus, and he is with his wife, who is waving at the crowd, and they seem happy. This looks like, at this point, I don't want to speculate, but it looks kind of like, at this point, I'm watching this on C-SPAN networks live right here in the studio. It looks like at this point, if his wife is smiling and waving at people, it looks like he may continue. I hope to God he doesn't, because I don't care what this looks like. He's got a crisis at home, and there's no doubt to doubt that. But then again, we don't know everything. So in a few minutes, we're going to be hearing from Herman Cain what he has to say. And I think this is a relationship issue. Again, to me, this has nothing to do with being a president of the United States or running for the White House. This has everything to do with Herman Cain as a man, a husband, a father. And it has everything to do with him as a husband and a father and in a relationship with people. All right. That's what this has to do with. And in just a second, we're going to be hearing a little bit from him. Don't know how much of this we're going to listen to, but we're going to look at it. As I mentioned, he is live right now on C-SPAN live. He has joined the podium with his wife, and he's about to address what seems to be a crowd littered with Cain supporters. So let's listen in to a few minutes of Herman Cain. At the podium now.
Well, let me first say the next president. As usual, the Cain supporters are not warm weather supporters. And I can't thank all of you.
Cain addressing the crowd. He's just doing some preliminary work right now as he warms up into what is going to be his speech. I guess this is breaking news right now, and I guess I picked a good topic to talk about today. Didn't know this was going to happen, so you're getting this live right now, right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We're covering Herman Cain, who just addressed his supporters. Now it looks like he's talking a little about Washington, D.C. Let's listen in as Herman Cain addresses the crowd.
That's why I chose to run. They have failed to provide economic growth. They have failed to get spending out of control. They have failed to make us less dependent on foreign oil. These are some of the reasons that inspired me to run for president.
Thank you, Alan J.
And if you look at the last 40 years, we've seen that same kind of failure. It's just that the mess has just gotten bigger. You were frustrated. I was frustrated. Millions of other people were frustrated. And it was out of that frustration that I made the decision to run, because the people in Washington, D.C. are either playing the blame game or pointing fingers.
Okay, as Kane addresses this crowd, we're going to switch here gears a little bit and go in and pick up a better live feed for this, so we can get, so you can listen into this and get the essence of what is happening right here. This is kind of a little bit of history in the making. We've never had a presidential candidate experience quite what Herman Cain has experienced in terms of the issues, apparently the alleged issues of sexual immorality or things of that nature, a 13-year relationship with a young lady out of Georgia. So it's a little bit different. This is a whole different animal, things that we normally don't have to deal with in terms of a presidential candidacy. You see also Herman Cain addressing the crowd and talking about history, talking about the last 40 years and things that he was tired about. But I think he gave a little clue there. He told the crowd that they were tired, and then he said, "I was tired." Now that key to me, I picked that up, and he said, "I was tired." I don't know if Cain is about to tell us that he's going to get out of the race. Honestly, I hope that he does, because he needs to mend with his family and his relationship with his wife and children. And he sounds at this point, that he's going to get out, because he used the, to me, he said, "I was frustrated." He didn't say, "I am frustrated." So was is a past tense type of thought. I'm a master at reading body language and listening to what people say, and more importantly, but listening to what it is they're not saying, through what it is they are saying. And he used the word was, which is more past tense thinking. And, so I think he's a little, he may be, I don't know. We're going to find out in just a little bit. But I want to also just say here unequivocally that I hope that all of us, really all of us, can learn from this situation that Herman Cain has had. Number one, we'll learn that relationships are key. When he first got in this trouble, no one came to his defense. He didn't have the African-American community to come to his defense. He didn't have anybody in Washington, D.C. come to his defense. And the truth of the matter is, he really should have had people from both camps. I mean, not every African-American is a Democrat. Some of them are conservative Republicans. Let's listen more into Cain.
A degree from Harvard in order to run for president. We showed that you didn't have to have a political pedigree to run for president. And one of the biggest things that we have shown is that we the people are still in charge of this country. And so today we are 1 month away from the Iowa caucuses. With over 300 million Americans in our nation, we stand here, I stand here, because of you. And if you look at the top three Republican candidates right now, and you consider the president in the White House, we can say, I'm in the final four. In the final four. And when you think of where I came from, on Pelham Street and Fifth Ward, right here in Atlanta, and now to be in the final ball for the presidency, this is a great nation. That's why this nation is so great. And I tell you what, it's a powerful and humbling position to be in. Proving this, that we could do this, was one of the greatest things, one of the greatest gifts that you and I could give to this country. I've often said, one of America's greatest strengths is its ability to change. And we have created some significant change on this journey so far. I am proof of that, and you are proof of that.
Herman Cain seems to be right now rounding in to a conversation. He's sounding more here like he's going to stay in. But we, the proof is not in the pudding just quite yet. But he has been making his rounds in this conversation that he's having, and it sounds like he's coming into a decision. Let's listen more into Cain right now.
Our nation is tired of hearing the politicians blame each other. It's time for solutions. But as false accusations about me continue, they have sidetracked and distracted my ability to present solutions to the American people. Now, I have made many mistakes in life. Everybody has. I've made mistakes professionally, personally, as a candidate in terms of how I run my campaign. And I take responsibility for the mistakes that I've made. And I have been the very first to hone up to any mistakes.
Stay right there on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Even if the political elites don't think I handle it exactly the way the political elites handle it, I handle it my way because that's the type of person that I am. But because of these false and unproved accusations, it has paid and had a tremendous, painful price on my family. These false and unproved allegations continue to be spinned in the media and in the court of public opinion so as to create a cloud of doubt over me and this campaign and my family. That spin hurts.
It sounds like Cain is about to make an announcement.
It hurts.
That he is going to be leaving because he's talking about how it's affected his family and his presidency. Happening right here, right now in America, live here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Herman Cain talks about how this has hurt from a solutionary perspective on America. Now you hear the crowd chanting Herman Cain, shouting his name feverishly in the background. His supporters seem to be as brilliant and as vibrant as ever.
And here's why it hurts.
Now Cain begins to talk about why it hurt. Listen in.
My wife, my family, and I, we know that those false and unproved allegations are not true.
Cain continues to say that the allegations that were made against him are absolutely not true. It seems that he is rounding into a decision. In just a few minutes, we're going to be hearing from Herman Cain about his decision to move on as a presidential candidate.
I am at peace with my God. I am at peace with my wife. and she is at peace with me.
Gloria, Gloria,
and
Gloria, Gloria, Gloria.
I am at peace with my family, and I'm at peace with myself. It's one of the most important things. Now, that being said,
don't quit now.
Becoming president was plan A. And before you get discouraged, today I want to describe plan B.
Kane is about to make a tremendous announcement right now.
Today,
listen in.
A lot of prayer and soul searching. I am suspending my presidential campaign.
Kane has just suspended his presidential campaign. My suspicions earlier were correct. Let's listen in.
Because of the continued distraction, the continued hurt caused on me and my family, not because we are not fighters, not because I'm not a fighter. It's just that when I went through this reassessment of the impact on my family, first,
Kane has just made the announcement that he is rescinding his bid for presidency, which I said up front was absolutely the right thing to do. Suspend his bid for president. Now, that word suspend is critical because it also means that he could come back another time. Not obviously not in this particular election year, but for perhaps 4 years from now. I believe that Herman Cain has absolutely made the right decision. As we talked about, and we didn't know all of this was going to happen. It just kind of providentially came together at this time frame as we talked about relationships and what seemingly seems to be the relationship breakdown of African Americans, as we have a 70% divorce rate in this country and in this nation. So this is definitely a good move for Herman Cain. This was a good thing for him to do. But now we've got to move forward from here, and we're going to talk about bad relationship habits up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. I'm Wayne Pacelli, President of the Humane Society of the United States. Help us stop this cruelty by putting dogfighting out of business. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. I'm Mark Hampton of Rebranding Black America. You can visit us online at www.rebrandingblackamerica.webs.com. You can also call us right now on the station at 877-932-9766. Let's listen in to Herman Cain live right now on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The people will choose, not the media, not the politicians. And the people will show that the people are still in charge of this country. Through this new organization, I will still be promoting the biggest change and transfer of power out of Washington, D.C., back to the people since this nation began, and that is the 999 plan.
It appears that Cain has not really... He's kind of staying in the loop with his 999 campaign. Let's listen in.
A foreign policy that starts with peace through strength and clarity. I will still be promoting actively an energy independence plan for America. We can and we will become energy independent. Now, I know that many of you are disappointed. I understand that. I know that many of you all are disappointed, and I certainly understand that. And I am disappointed that it came to this point that we had to make this decision. One of the reasons that I ran for President of the United States was such that I could...
Well, there you have it right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Herman Cain has suspended his presidential campaign. He is no longer a presidential candidate for the United States of America. Absolutely, this was without a doubt the best thing for Cain to do. He is no longer in a fight for presidency. He's in a fight for his family. And when you deal with relationships, as we talked about at the top of the hour of the show, it's the quality, your quality of life is dependent largely upon the relationships you have in life, because at the end of the day, it's not things that get on your nerve, it's people. So if you don't understand people, and if you don't understand the relationship quotient that you have and how important relationships are, you're not going to be very, very happy. So relationships, first of all, is an emotional connection with another person. Obviously, when we disconnect emotionally, it hampers and it makes the relationship difficult. Also, to relate means to give an account or reference. See, for me to relate to somebody, I'm referencing them. I'm referencing that they're good for me, I'm good for them, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you deal with the word ship, the last part of relationship, re means to do again, relate means to give an account, then ship really is the condition of the relationship. So when you look at the condition of your relationships, and as we look at finishing this year strong, and really thinking about what's going to happen in 2012, it's paramount for us to really understand the power and the importance of relationships, because you and I cannot have movement, whether in our community, whether in our commerce, whether in public, at work. We cannot have movement in family if we don't have solid relationships. Relationships are absolutely key. Now, we talked about bad relationship habits, and I want to talk about a few of those before we wrap up the show again today. There are some bad relationship habits. The number one bad relationship habit is the inability to play your life to your partner's baseline needs. We have to understand one another as African Americans. Now, we know that right now,
Some have said through an online source indicated that there was 70% divorce rate in the African-American community. Now, we know that emotions, it's an emotional connection. So we're having an emotional trauma as it relates to how we work with each other. And we need to come to grips with that and be honest about it being there so that we can attack the problem and then do something about it. We also need to understand that we need to understand each other and how we work. So you got to play your life to each other. So, for example, you have to understand the brother. You need to understand the number one need of a woman is security. She doesn't care if you love her if the lights are off. She doesn't care if you love her if the kids don't have clothes and you got an eviction notice. You have to play your life to her number one need. We're going to talk about sisters and the brothers in just a second, but we've got a caller on the line right now. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com. What's your comment or question right now?
My question was, I didn't hear the first part of your show, but my question was, what do you think is going to happen now that Kane is pulled out? And one other thing, though, is what do you think his candidacy means as far as African Americans are concerned and their potential interest in the Republican Party?
Well, I'll answer the first part of your question first. What does it mean to that he is no longer part of the Republican Party in terms of his candidacy?
It's
probably good for the Republican Party, to be quite honest with you, because he was just, that's baggage. If I'm running, you know, that's baggage I wouldn't want to have. And he was taking a large amount of attention away from certain people. Now you see a lot of people now gravitating to Newt and gravitating to the other candidates. But the truth of the matter is, they're just picking up people that Kane has lost. To me, from the Republican Party standpoint, that is not really gain, because somebody's going to get those people anyway. The real question, the people that the Republican Party need to pick up are people who are on the Democratic side. And I don't know if they can pick those people up. Now, the second part of your question, go ahead, repeat the second part of your question for me.
My question was what your thoughts were in terms of, that Kane's candidacy overall in terms of what it would mean for, people taking a second look at the Republican Party, African Americans taking a second look at the Republican Party, since Kane was out there and had a strong following and all that kind of stuff until all the smear campaign began. But,
right.
You know.
Well, you know, how African Americans are going to look at the Republican Party is not going to change because of Herman Kane. It didn't change with Michael Steele, who turned out to be an absolute joke, unfortunately. But I kind of called that. But I don't think it's going to change very much. If the Republican Party wants African Americans to look at them and take them seriously, then what the Republican Party is going to have to do is not have a figure who appeals to black folks, but they're going to have substance that meets the needs of African Americans. And their unwillingness to do so is really why we don't really get behind that party. So until that changes, nothing else is going to change.
What are the needs of African Americans?
Well, those needs are broad, and you've been in America long enough to know what those needs are. I'm not a political candidate, but I will tell you that the needs of African Americans are what they've always been in this country, is for equality. The need for African Americans is always what it's been when Dr. Martin Luther King said these words: "If America is going to be a great nation, it must live out its creed." And the creed is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So if you want to know what African Americans want, they want equality, and they want it at every level. And it's really very simple. Anything other than that is nothing more than hyperbole and garbage, because what we've always wanted in this country is equality. That has never changed. We had technically, ever since we've been in this country, we've had nothing but equality. We had 400 years of slavery and another 200 years plus of oppression. So we don't want anything we haven't always wanted. We want what the Constitution guaranteed African Americans and every other people who have come to this nation. And we also need to keep in mind that slavery was the largest kidnapping campaign ever.
So let's just put it where it is and be honest about it. And but that was then. This is now. We must move forward. And now America, African Americans just simply want America to live up to its creed and give us the equality that every American deserves.
Does African Americans bear any responsibility for their own self-determination in America?
You make up a good point, but let me just hit this right, because a lot of people talk about the responsibility that African Americans should have. Let me just make it unequivocally clear right now that there is no people in this country other than African Americans who literally came to this country not of their own volition, but came to this country and have contributed to America. There's no other ethnic group that's contributed to America the way we have. Everything from the gas mask, the traffic light, the refrigerator, the lawnmower, the cotton gin, all of these things, the cell phone, Henry Sampson, an African-American who invented, Madam C.J. Walker, who invented the door-to-door salesperson, all of the contributions that we have made to this country. There's no other ethnic group of people who have really poured into America the way we have. So we've already demonstrated our willingness to love this country because we did it in a very diverse adverse situation. Even when Alexander Graham Bell said, "Hello, Watson," well, Watson was an African-American who couldn't own a patent. He actually invented the telephone. So we could go on, and then we could even, there's a book out there called The Five Black Presidents. You'll be hard-pressed to find it, but look very hard. It's out there. We've already had five black presidents in the United States of America. The truth of the matter is we've made our contribution. We've shown our allegiance to this country. And I think our contributions right down to Dr. Martin Luther King and present day Barack Obama speak for themselves.
Well, what you're not addressing is the responsibility that African Americans.
We've already taken responsibility.
Actually, what you're sidestepping is the responsibility to promote education in the community, to promote self-responsibility.
Let's talk about
this kind of thing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's talk about education. You ever heard of an HBCU? That's a HBCU. It's a historically black college, okay?
Okay.
Colleges like Hampton University, et cetera, et cetera. Hampton University, no pun intended. My name is Hampton. But the point here that I'm making is this. We've made our contribution to education. We were, you gotta do your history. And I'd say call me back next week.
I'm gonna focus on more like the current events. For example, right now.
Well, you brought up the concept of
failure.
Education.
Well, there's a failure. Yeah. Right now, more black students are failing to even be able to make it into an HBCU.
True.
Okay.
Do you understand that public education was created to guarantee African Americans or people of color or people who live in urban America? It was produced to guarantee that we would always have inferior education. Did you understand that the tax code that is written in inner cities is prohibiting in many urban settings? Do you understand that?
Let me address that. Then why is it that the Democrats, who most of the African Americans align themselves with, are still against school vouchers, which would break that exact same cycle? Okay, why are they still against vouchers that would allow kids to go to better schools? Then, if in fact public school education was designed to keep black people down,
I think what you need to do is just simply look at the facts. Now, to your point, what you would be saying here, and it's still my show. To your point, what you would be saying here is this, that African Americans just simply can't control themselves. That's not a doctrine that I'm going to espouse to. I want to thank you for your call.
You're putting words in my mouth.
I'm not putting any words in your mouth. What I'm doing is I'm speaking. No, what I'm doing is I'm speaking from a posture of power. And I'm not going to give in to any aloof or unintelligent approaches. Thank you so much for your call. Call me next week. I'll be glad to talk to you. I'm Mark Hampton on Talktainment Radio.
Thank you for listening to Rebranding with Mark Hampton, where we restore the brand. Heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.